10 Habs are getting the score. The Plekanecs scores. Tomas Plekanecs found a loose puck, and I think his shot surprised Corey Crawford. It's 1-0 Montreal.
Well, absolutely, it surprised him because he didn't even move.
Canadians get a chance to break it up, but the clearing attempt hit the linesman.
Oh, that's too bad. They would have had a break.
And DeBrincat scores off that break. It's tied at 1. Alex DeBrincat. Rutan reached in and got a piece of it. Now it takes a good bounce for Chicago. Saad to panic. Right circle, ring wide. Saad scores. Jonathan Toews had it at the left circle. Brandon Saad was unchecked. Franson will creep down the boards. Nice pass. Ring wide, they score. Anisimov took it. Some three-way passing. DeBrincat will pick up an assist. And it's 3-1 Chicago. Good play by Udon to take it away. He'll come right down the side.
Oh.
Charles Udon right in. As he undressed the defenseman, but he couldn't get a shot away. 8 seconds left. Mete from the corner. He can't get anything on goal, and the Canadians can't get anything in the opposition's goal. They lose it 3-1, and they've lost 3 in a row.
Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, hour number 3. Dan Robertson and Sergio Messo in the booth on opening night at the Bell Center last night, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Meantime, just before we go to Pierre Maguire, he was in Vegas last night.
To the families and friends of the victims, know that we'll do everything we can to help you and our city heal. We are Vegas strong.
That is Derek Englund, who was speaking to the crowd, rocking back and forth on his skates, obviously a little uptight, but doing a tremendous job addressing the crowd in the aftermath of a very, very emotional pregame ceremony and our pregame moment and tribute. And what do you know?
Nearly skated out, taken up by Brendan Leipzig. Leipzig dangling, looking up top, they score! It's the hometown hero.
Alex, I'm not sure you can write a better script for this opening.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
And tonight he's in Washington, D.C. for rivalry night, the Capitals and the Penguins once again. Pierre Maguire, how you doing?
I'm very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I did make it home in time to see most. I missed the broadcast, but I think anybody who, like myself, who missed the opening, you must go back. The moment when they saluted the victims one by one. I mean, if anybody had a dry eye by the time they got to 6 or 7, you got to check your pulse. That was quite an emotional wallop last night.
Yeah, it was an amazing honor and privilege to be there. Derek Englund is one of the great ambassadors, not only for the city of Las Vegas, but obviously for the Golden Knights. And I made the point last night during our show, he's got to be considered an amazing ambassador for the sport of hockey, just the way he handled that. He did that without notes. He did that after warm-up, and he did that in front of 17,000 people that were just rocking the place. And that's an amazingly difficult thing to do. And you're standing in front of your peers from both teams, and national TV on both sides of the border, and probably a worldwide audience. I have so much respect for Derek. I knew what he was going to say because he had shown me the script that he and his wife actually wrote together, his wife Melissa, and she edited it for him, but he memorized the whole thing. And I'm just blown away by what he did. He's a fantastic man. He really is.
Again, it's Eakin centering, but hops over the stick of Perron, perhaps an active stick, got it. McNabb's shot, big rebound, and Neal scores!
What a star for James Neal. We'll get to the Habs and the Blackhawks and the fallout from last night in just a moment, but I did see your post-game conversation with James Neal, and it's something I think a lot of hockey fans probably don't think of or take for granted. It's been a while since we've seen an expansion team about all these guys who've been around the league for a little bit, walking into a dressing room and not really knowing anybody. I mean, that's talk about building from the bottom up, trying to build something here.
But it's how they built their team. They didn't build it through numbers. They built it through character and the eyeball test. There's not one player in that team that doesn't have character. They went for character first and coachability. And if you weren't coachable in the view of their scouting eyes, and if you weren't character filled in the view of their scouting eyes, you are not going to get an opportunity to play there. It's that simple.
All right. The Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks, once again, the Canadiens drive the play in the first and run into Corey Crawford in the third. They lost the game in the first when they couldn't score on a 5-on-3 power play.
Yeah.
Where if you're the Habs right now, how close are you to concern, if that's possible, four games into a season?
Well, I'm a bit concerned because I'm not scoring. Jonathan Drouin doesn't have a goal yet. I'm concerned about that. I needed Petrie to be better. Haven't seen that yet. You know, obviously the power plays in the bottom three in the league. You need it to be in the top five in the league. So they've got a lot of hurdles. I watched the entire game. I watched Gordon Miller and Brian Boucher do it on our network. Mitch, quite frankly, the 5-on-3 was the swing moment of the game. That's a huge opportunity against a tired team that's already given up a bad first goal. They really, outside of one snapshot from the top of the circle, they really never had any duress on Corey Crawford that entire time. You score there, then you plant the seed of doubt. Then you have a chance. That was very disappointing to see. I've got to believe that they're concerned because, again, discount the last two games of the preseason. Offense has been very tellingly short for this group, and it's pretty apparent that it's going to be a problem.
Luck is something that I think on the outside can be said. I don't think we can use that as an excuse. You know, there's no doubt that there's a couple of times, you know, you've seen like, wow, we didn't get a break here or there. But you can't rely on that. You got to fight through it.
So, Pierre, it's interesting that, again, through four games, that the guys who are really that you're noticing for the right reasons, Arturi Lehkonen, Victor Mete,
yep.
Charles Hudon last night.
Fantastic. He was really good.
And you see him throw his body, which is not a big one, into Brent Seabrook, and you're wondering about some of the other guys who are expected to score. And that's, it seems, and we discussed this earlier, Gallo, you can add to this if you want, is like, who's going to get the puck to Galchenyuk? Who's going to get the puck to Pacioretty? How about going after the puck, like Hugh Dolan's doing?
What did we talk about yesterday?
You said exactly Galchenyuk. You could talk about moving their feet, right?
Yeah. You got to move your feet and go get the puck. Now, I am not going to sit here and be an apologist for Alex Galchenyuk, but he's not a checker, so you know that. So he's got to help himself if he really wants to play, and he doesn't want to pout, and he wants to be a productive part of the group. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Go help yourself. You know, stop pointing. And I don't know if he's pointing fingers or not. Maybe that's too strong a term. But clearly there's a body language issue. I watched the two wayward passes on the power play like everybody else in the rink and everybody else watching on TV. We saw the bad passes. Fix it. Don't whine. Fix it. Get on the ice and show the coach. You know what I used to tell players all the time? If I make you a healthy scratch, do me a favor. The next time you get a chance to play, embarrass me. Show me that I was wrong and you were right. And you know what? I'll be man enough to say, that guy was wrong and I was right. Or sorry, the other way around. He was right and I was wrong. That's what you got to do. Yeah, I don't get it. He's got to. They need him. Mitch, they need Alex Galchenyuk big time. And he's not getting it done. They need Jeff Petrie big time. He's not getting it done. They need those two guys. I don't know how much is being played up there. But they need those two guys. They really do. And those two guys aren't doing much right now.
Well, as far as Galchenyuk is concerned, I really don't know the answer to this. And maybe it's different with different coaching staffs. But I'm watching Charles Hudon. And yeah, like Mitch said, he's throwing his body around and he's going after the puck. But also when he has the puck, he's dangling. And he's making nice moves around good defensemen. Dirty dangles from Charles Hudon in the game last night. Where Galchenyuk, he's not doing that. So I'm wondering, is that a coaching thing where they're saying, if you try that, you better not turn it over? Don't do that. Or you do have the free will to do whatever you want. How does it usually work when players want to make a one-on-one type move? Because we've seen Galchenyuk do it in the past.
I think they've beaten him up. And I don't know if it's this staff. I don't know if it's, you know, again, internally. But you can see there's something wrong. I don't know if it's him. That's why I said about the finger pointing, and maybe that's too strong. But something's not, there's a disconnect going on there. There clearly is. And Johnny Lou does such a good job covering the Canadiens for TSN. I got a note from him, about what the lines were in Montreal today at practice, and then he's on the fourth line. He's not, okay, I get it. You want to reward guys that are doing well, but who's doing better than him? Honestly, like, nobody's doing that well. So at some point, you have to create. Here's the, and Claude knows this better than I do, because Claude's had far more success being a head coach than I ever did. But I was around some pretty good teams. The one thing I can tell you, you have to create roles for players, and the players have to accept the roles that have been created for them.
Okay.
And
yep, sorry.
He needs to have an offensive role created for him. He's not a checker. They've told us since they drafted him that they want him to be a center, and then all of a sudden, well, he doesn't play well enough defensively. Well, if he can't play well defensively, and you drafted him third overall, what are you putting him in the lineup for? You're putting him in there to score.
So let me try, because you know how I feel about Galchenyuk. I fear that he's going to end up somewhere else, and he will thrive somewhere else where they will just let him play, let him do his thing. That's my belief. None of us really know until it happens. But in the meantime, they're trying to get him going because of what you just said. They need him. They really need him. So if he's on the fourth line, he's starting against third-pairing defensemen. You got Alex Hemsky, who isn't doing anything right now. The one thing Alex Hemsky can do is pass the puck. Maybe they're trying to create something, take advantage of a matchup against Toronto's fourth line on Saturday night to get him going.
See, I love what you just said, because that's a big part of this. Mike Babcock's not going to – he knows. He knows what the players do. He'll double shift guys. He'll know that – Hemsky and Galchenyuk aren't great defensively, so you're going to get a steady diet of William Nylander and Austin Matthews. I can tell that's what he's going to do, and Zach Hyman. So I know how you're looking at it. It's totally sensical, but I know the brain of Mike Babcock and how he does things. It's very similar to how Scotty used to do things. They go after your weakest link. They put their best players against your weakest guys. They're not afraid to double shift them. They break them down. So that's where you get into problems when you try to go play that game. But your argument makes total sense. I'm just telling you what coaches that understand matchups do.
Yeah, but the Canadians, and I understand Mike Babcock and how he works and how he coaches, but I would imagine Claude Julien with the last change, you know, at least has that as an advantage.
Well, you hope, but you know what becomes when you play a fast team, and this is something that I can't wait to watch on Saturday, because we'll see if it holds true or not. When you play a team as quick as Toronto, a lot of times your team panics and they ice the puck.
Or they get too many men on the ice penalty.
Or they get in trouble that way, too.
Here's what Claude Julien, in fact, he was already asked, which is rare after a game early in the week, to be asked about a game several days later, but he didn't mind the question.
They're young and they're quick, and they have a lot of energy, and they come out and they really wear teams down. So we got to make sure we're fresh and ready for these guys. But at the same time, if you plan on playing on your heels against that team, they'll eat you alive.
How about that?
That's exactly right. And that speaks to what I just told you about Babcock. He worked with Babcock at the Olympics. He knows how Mike runs his bench. Usually coaches know the matchups for the other team, who you have to shut down on the other team, but they also know the guys you can attack. They're like the smart offensive coordinator in football. They know the defensive back that plays in bump coverage but can't turn to his left. So they run tons of patterns to the left-hand side of the field because the guy's in trouble. He can't turn and pivot and go that way, and they're going to eat him up, and they're just going to wear the guy out. That's how the top coaches in the league coach. So, no, Claude knows that, and that was a really good soundbite. That was tremendous. And that's what I admire about Claude, the transparency issue. He's very, very transparent.
With Pierre McGuire in Washington, D.C., Rod's jumping in a second. Just a reminder in a few minutes, our daily Habs tickets. This is for the Canadiens, St. Louis, the unbeaten. They won't be unbeaten by December 5th. Game at the Bell Center, up for grabs when Gallo asks, who wore it? Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Rod.
So when you're communicating and you're trying to create a role for a player, in this case, Galchenyuk, can you also mention what you brought up a second ago, how much they need him? Can you explain to a player, man, you've got a chance to be a hero, to carry this team offensively?
For sure. You can look at the team you played last night. Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah.
Alex DeBrincat was a second-round pick. There were three straight years of 50 goals in the Ontario Hockey League. The kid got cut from a World Junior team, even though he made it the previous year. That never happens with USA Hockey, except in that instance. I'm just telling you. Same thing happened to Alex Tuck. So, and he's already been moved out of Minnesota. But that I'm just telling you, Alex DeBrincat's a perfect example from last night.
You want, hey, this guy was a second round pick, Alex. You were third overall. You're 6'2", almost 6'3". He's 5'7", 5'8". Come on.
It's huge. I mean, you know, they've helped me a lot with my game and kind of, you know, teaching me where to be in the D zone. And I think D zone's a big part of the game. So that kind of helps my confidence there. And, you know, in the O zone, I can, you know, be creative and do my own thing.
So there's Alex DeBrincat after the game, scoring his first NHL goal on Carey Price on a bullet. And Patrick Sharp. Yeah, Patrick Sharp with the beautiful
play by Sharp. Yeah.
So he's a 19-year-old who's 5'7", and about, what, 160 pounds or whatever he is?
He might be a little heavier, but not much.
Okay, so how is this? Does he stay and play his 12.5, 13 minutes? Does he get more ice time as the season goes along? How do you compare his development as a teenager with the Chicago Blackhawks compared to some other teenagers around the league right now?
Good, really solid, and part of it is because of the internal peer pressure you got winning. See, Stanley Cup bring instantaneous credibility. So when Jonathan Toews tells you something, you listen. When Duncan Keith or Brent Seabrook tell you something, and I've been around their team a ton, called every one of their Stanley Cup wins. When those guys say, and they do speak, trust me, they talk a lot, especially during games on the bench, people listen. Ask Andrew Shaw. If you're an interview guy, ask Andrew Shaw what the leadership's like from Jonathan Toews or Duncan Keith or Brent Seabrook or even Patty Kane. Yeah, those guys are hard on it. And it reminds me so much, Mitch, and it's not a fair comparable, but it reminds me so much of the teams that you and I and probably a lot of the listeners watched in the 1970s. Internal peer pressure makes players better. It creates competition. It holds guys accountable. It makes players better in practice. And that's a big part of this thing. That's a huge part of this thing.
So another area of concern has clearly been the power play, 0-14 now on the year. And I want to tie it into Galchenyuk because the Canadiens practice with Galchenyuk, Mitchell, and Hemsky on the fourth line. And Galchenyuk played over 5 minutes of power play time. Hemsky played over 4 minutes of power play time. And I'm wondering how many teams in the league will give the majority of their power play time to fourth line players on their team. Feels as though Galchenyuk and Hemsky are these complementary type players or specialty type players that you've been referring to in the past.
Yeah, no, not very often. And usually the specialists for a lot of these teams are penalty killers or faceoff guys. I'm doing a game tonight. Jay Beagle here in Washington, he doesn't get on a power play. He's a specialist. He's a penalty killer and a faceoff guy, usually in the top five in the league. I think he's sixth in the league now in faceoffs. Usually he's in the top five by the end of the year. That's his specialty. He's not as good as Guy Carbonneau, but he's that kind of a player. That's why Carbonneau was so good. And Guy, if you're listening, I mean, Guy Carbonneau, I think, is one of the most undervalued players that ever played in the league. I really mean that. And I was coaching when he was in his prime. And I would tell you that Carbonneau was so underappreciated because he was really the prototypical great defensive forward that never got enough credit outside of his marketplace. And so those specialists matter. I haven't seen fourth line guys be specialists on the power play very often. No, I have not seen that.
All right, a couple of quick items before we get to the contest. And then Kavis Reed, Al's general manager, is scheduled to join us on CFL Trade Deadline Day. And then we'll talk to Gord Miller after 6 o'clock. A wild game, Nashville and Philadelphia, Pierre.
Ooh,
and
I know where you're going with this.
Dave Hakstol challenged the call on the tying goal by Scotty Hartnell with over a minute to go. And they got penalized because it wasn't offside. And they lose the game as a result of that on a 5-on-3. Andrew McDonald ended up taking a penalty. So, you know, how do you have a breakdown like that?
No, I think you get overeager and sometimes in the heat of the moment, you kind of forget. I'm not saying Dave forgot, but that's where you have to have a check and balance on the bench. And again, I don't know if they had that or not. It's kind of like when you put your game roster in. If you're the head coach or the assistant, you fill it out, and then you have the trainer look at it, and then you have another assistant. You always have a check and a balance on all those things, and I think teams need to have a structured check and balance for challenges. I really do, now because of the penalty more than anything else. But you're absolutely right. I knew you were going there. That's the water cooler moment. Take away from that. And you got to know that every team in the league today heard about this, and every coaching staff in the league is coming up with challenge protocols. And I would tell you, going into the year, if they didn't have them, they'll have them now in terms of protocols of how they're going to challenge things.
All right, the Flyers sent Sam Morin back to the American Hockey League. Why is it taking him this long to develop?
He's big. He had a really good preseason. Outside of one game against, and I watched all their preseason games, outside of one game, Mitch, against the Rangers where he kind of struggled with the puck a little bit in a couple situations, he had a really good preseason. I think he'll still get a chance to come up. He's a big person, usually takes those guys a little bit longer. But I would not give up on him. I'm a big fan of his. I think you can find a way to create a spot on your team for a player like that.
Pretty good show tonight after a double dip last night. Gord Miller coming up after 6. He was at the Bell Center last night. Ovechkin and Crosby tonight. This is must-see TV this early in the season.
Oh, is it ever? And, you know, I was just talking to Barry Trotz before I came on with you, and Barry's funny. He says, we were terrible in training camp. And the player, I just told the players, you tell me when you're ready to play, and we'll start putting in systems. So as the players started to get better and better, he started to put in more and more systems. They've had a great start to the year, obviously. A tough loss the other night down in Tampa. But that's a real good Tampa team. We all know that. Obviously, what they did to Montreal, the fans of Montreal know. Ovechkin's jumping. Backstrom's playing great. Kuznetsov's got 8 assists in 3 games. they're a murderer's row still. I think their team's going to be very, very good. I don't think the window's closed on Washington. I really don't.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you about that and much more tomorrow at 5:05. Thanks, Pierre.
Mitch, I don't know if you had a chance to see the interview that was done with Derek Englund that played before the game. But if you get a chance, I don't know if it's out there on the internet somewhere. Just shows you what a man he is, but the emotion, the raw human emotion of what transpired in Las Vegas over the last 10 days.
All right.
It's amazing. It really is.
We'll grab it before 7 o'clock. Thanks for that.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Las Vegas, please welcome to the ice to drop the puck on the 2017-18 inaugural season. Survivors of the events on 1 October.
And just in case you weren't aware, the Golden Knights last night became the first ever expansion team to start 3-0. When we come back, who wore it? Tickets to the Habs-Blues games up for grabs, the game in December at the Bell Center.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Delicious Pastrami Sandwich. Have it oven-grilled, only $5 at Dagwood's.
The journey is long, every lap crucial.